migrants catch rides when they can, and failing that, walk. They're spread out among back roads leading south through Colombia, Peru, and here in Bolivia. They've left home countries like Venezuela because it's almost impossible to survive on the minimum salary of only $2 a month.
Most people don't have a way to survive in Venezuela.
This man and his family have already been on the road for months, but they're not headed to the United States. They're headed south to a country which enjoys the highest standard of living in all of Latin America. And they've trekked through several countries to get here.
Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia. Now we go to Chile.
He's run out of money, however, so his family occupies this street corner, hoping their luck will improve.
Candy, face masks, pens. We sell whatever we can to survive. The process is just to get passage, little by little, border by border.
Venezuela is now the source of the world's second largest mass exodus, after Syria, and it's being felt throughout the hemisphere.
This is Bolivia's border crossing with Chile at a point called Pisiga, and right now there are literally hundreds and hundreds of migrants crossing this border right here behind me illegally to get into Chile. Most of these people come from Venezuela, they come from a few other places, but the bottom line is they all want to get into Chile because that's where the work is, they say. And as you can see, there's a soldier right there behind me. There are soldiers stationed all along the Chilean border here, trying to slow down at least the flow of migrants, but it's not working very well. And as I talk to these soldiers, what they tell me is that no matter how far they push soldiers out, the migrants go just a little bit farther, and they just don't have the manpower to cover the entire border. This is a really, really long border between Bolivia and Chile, and they'll just keep going as far as they can. The other problem is that the farther they push them out, the further they have to walk. And that's what makes this area into what I would call another Darien Gap, because over 30 people have died here in the last 12 months crossing this border. Now, right now it's nice, it's warm out, but you come here at night, the temperature drops precipitously because we're up over 12,000 feet. And if you come here in the winter time, which is June, July, and August for them, it is snow and freezing temperatures, and they've had many people that have frozen to death. So in order to avoid the optics of migrants freezing to death out here, Chile is sort of making a half-hearted effort with these soldiers at stopping the migration from coming across. And the soldiers I'm talking to are frustrated at that. They wish that they could put a stop to it, but there really is no way to stop thousands and thousands of people from coming across your borders when you just don't have the manpower. Since Chile now has a new president, it also means that that president doesn't quite have the will to really go hard against these migrants and put a stop to them crossing illegally, because the guy that he ran against in this recent election that was decided in December, was taking a very hard stand on the migration. He was going to send a lot more troops out here to put a stop to it. But this president apparently is sort of going halfway in and making an effort to look like they're doing something, but it's really not making much of a difference.
Local media report that nearly 30 people have died making the crossing over the last 12 months. Soldiers tell me they're here to keep that from happening, although they see their efforts as futile.
The path is dangerous when they come illegally because the temperature can easily dip below zero in this sector. People come this way basically looking for an easy way in. From here, they can walk just a kilometer or so and enter without trouble. Then they come back here and are put into a camp run by the police. They fill out a form seeking asylum and then undergo a quarantine of about 14 days.
These Bolivian locals feel the military only makes things worse.
Down there, they have to cross in water up to their waists, and some have children. What are they supposed to do?
Given the choice, though, between this desert and the more deadly Darien Gap, many migrants decide to head south instead of north. They hope to find work in Chile, where they can earn more in a day than they can earn in a month in their home countries.
So now night has fallen out here along the border, and I'm out walking around just taking a look at things, and there are still hundreds of migrants crossing across the desert. And you can see how they could die, even though it's not very far distance-wise, it's completely flat, and there's very few points of reference, and it'd be real easy to just walk in a big circle and get lost. And the policeman that just stopped me from Bolivia and asked for my papers was telling me that they die all year round out there. It's not just in the wintertime, which would be, you know, June, July, August for them. It's right now, tonight, it could get below freezing out here. It's probably in the mid-40s right now, I'd say. Pretty cold. And, of course, if you're not prepared for it and you spend too much time out there, you're going to get hypothermia and die. So there were three Bolivian police officers that are stopping people as they're going by. But there's so many places where they can ingress to the border. I mean, this is Pisiga behind me, and there's probably 15 or 20 different places where they could come out of the city and make their way across the desert, at least. And so it'd be almost impossible for them to stop all of them. They just don't have the manpower. And as a matter of fact, while the cop was hassling me, I was standing there watching about 15 migrants behind the cops walking right by with all their bags and everything, heading for the border. I've been watching them as they walk around town tonight, and it seems like people are doing one of two things. They're either immediately, when they get off the bus, they go look for a place to stay, which runs about $5 to $10 a night. I splurged and got the $10 a night hotel. Or they just go right for the border because there's no place for them to stay. If they don't have any money, there's no place for them to stay indoors here on the Pisiga side, on the Bolivia side. But if they cross over and they can get across, right on the other side of the border are refugee camps that have been set up by Chile. And so they can get in there and at least have a tent to sleep in or something like that. And so I think maybe that's why people are still going across at night. I'm going to keep walking around town and see what else I see. There are only a few hundred people in this little border town, but almost all of them make their living by helping the migrants in some way, either by providing a place to sleep or buses to transport them or food for them here in the main street of the town. It also causes a lot of problems because there are very often more migrants in this town than there are citizens. And that causes a lot of issues with supply and water and things like that.
Still, most hope this isn't permanent.
My hope is that things get better in Venezuela and we can go back to our country. That's it. That's all we want. We have faith that one day it will happen.
Until then, Chile will have something in common with America as they struggle to find a way to deal with tens of thousands of desperate people flooding across their borders.